All right. I'm going to read a verse here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Just wanted to focus in on that whatever things are of good report. And I'd like to call those things manners. And the definition for manners that I want to focus on is a person's outward bearing or their way of behaving towards others. There's often, when we think about manners, we think about please, thank you, and things like that. But they're included, but that's not what I want to focus on today. So one's behavior. Towards others. I don't remember exactly when, but I remember that having had a time or times when I became keenly aware that this was something I had and that I possessed, because I recognized that everybody else did too. There was a certain way that people behaved towards others or related towards others, and these ways were either appreciated or not appreciated. And so I recognized that I must have those too, and other people must be able to see those things. So the scriptures that I want to read are not so much about polite social behavior, though they might be that too, but I'm just going to call them Christian manners. Oops. I don't know if you can read that or not, but that's what. So the first scripture, I just have a list of, I'm going to just jump around a lot, but in Philippians 2, verse 3, says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So there we see a Christian manner, esteeming others over ourselves. Let's see. This is one of the things I thought about um, in thinking about esteeming others, just a practical way that that would work out is interrupting someone when they're talking. Is that would seem like you're not esteeming the other person as my second verse is Luke 6. Verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Pretty basic, pretty simple. Treat others the way you would be treated, but it's not something that is it's something that we have to learn to do, especially little children. They don't tend not to think about others as much as they think about themselves until they've learned this. This might be a continuation of, let's see, I guess I'll just write, listening of my other, the point about interrupting. When we're talking, we want other people to listen. So, when other people talk, we should listen and try to pay attention to what they're saying, because that's what we want them to do when we're talking. Titus chapter 3. Verse 2 kind of cuts in the middle of the sentence here, but I think for our purpose that's okay. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So speak evil of no one. I'd say that's an important Christian manner. Right, speak no evil. And we had peaceable. Seems like there was something else in there. Gentle. Gentleness is a Christian manner. Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt word, I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, I guess. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Maybe I'll just stop there. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. As I was reading that, I was considering what that is trying to tell us. And I don't think it's necessarily talking about bad words or curse words, no corrupt word, but it's talking about words that are like wholesome or like good, true, as opposed to unsound words, words that are not, it's talking about words that are faulty or that would lead people to in an unsound direction. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we have need of this last, of what he says in this last verse, to be kind to each other, to be tender-hearted, and to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. If our hearts start to become hardened towards each other, we stop being kind, we don't want to forgive, we want to hold someone for something that they've done to us, that we perceive they've done to us, whether they really have or not, that is anti-Christian. That's not Christian manners. So let's see. And we can usually, I think, feel that. There's something about not forgiving someone that hardens our heart. And I think for really, really deeply honest with ourselves, we can feel that within ourselves. We can feel ourselves hardening towards that person. First Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Try to, that's one of the reasons it's good to be around fellow Christians, around brothers and sisters, because if we're around evil company and listening to evil communications, it tends to steer our mind in that direction. We can't keep one kind of company and just listen to one kind of talk and not a certain kind of talk and a certain kind of company, I should say, and not expect to be drawn in that direction. Uh, I want to read one in Leviticus 19, verse 32. Here in the law, they had, I think, a very good direction here for God's people that I think we should consider. It says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." So I think that's a, even though that's in the law of Moses there, I think that's a Christian manner, is respecting elders. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Again, that might be similar to other passages we've read, but I just, if we can really take heed to that, and just the way that is worded, it just seems like we would have an abundance of peace among us if we were always kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and in honor give preference to one another. Okay, and then the last verse I have is in Luke 6. Verse 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And my thought there was just that it's easy to be nice, to show Christian manners, or easier to people who show them to us, but we're called to a higher standard than that. We're called to We're called to be this way towards people who aren't that way towards us. We preemptively show them the love of Christ. We don't wait for them to attack us first with love. We attack them. So that's all I have. I'll just open it up for any comments or anything you might have to share, or corrections.
Yeah, this particular passage, Titus 3:2, it, for it says speak evil, it's where we get in English the word blaspheme. So don't blaspheme somebody. It's interesting. Yeah, I just wanted to apologize, confess. I'm really bad. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. I'm really bad about interrupting people when they speak. And I appreciate that you pointed out that we should treat people and not do unto others, because that definitely is clearly saying that And so I really need to, I think, like I just said, kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancement, is forcefully advancing. Forceful men lay hold of it. And like Paul says, he beat his body, making it his slave, and that's what I need to do. So I confess that and apologize to whomever that I've done that and need to purge that. This passage that talks about bad company corrupts good character, I think it could be understood that way, and certainly I think Psalms 1 is talking similarly, blessed is the man who's not in the counsel of the ungodly. But that word, I think, also could be understood as whenever we're having not only companionships but also conversations, that sometimes, I think, sometimes we could be talking about things that are of the world because we're criticizing the world, but I think just even discussing it, I think a lot of times can be like what this passage is just talking about. It corrupts. It's not just the world is the world, and or not even just the world, but just anything at all. I think it could be saying not only companionship but also conversation. So I just point that out. So.
Amen. Thanks, Brother Norman. It was self-explanatory, I guess. Most of the things you was just not much commentary on that. And like Brother Brett, politics should be avoided at all costs. You can't do it. I mean, I can't do it. Maybe Leroy can do it and Daniel, but if someone gets in politics, it's just a domino effect. Yeah, and it's a poison or a cancer. That who can talk about politics without throwing in their dibs? Yeah, about some evil politician or things like that. The one, 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companionship corrupts good morals. That comes from the Greek philosopher Euripides. And I'm not going to say anything about Euripides, okay? But Harvey, I guess in a prayer morning this morning, you mentioned about Search Me, or perhaps the song that you led in the last verse of that Psalm 139, where it says, "Search me, O God. See if there's any wicked thing in me, and you know, deliver me from it. Lead me in the everlasting way." So, Harvey, how does God lead us in the everlasting way, brother? Lead me in the everlasting way. Put you on the spot. Is Harvey there?
I don't think it's one end. I don't think
it's from Psalm 139 and in the Psalm. Go ahead. What?
Do you have the answer?
Oh, I think it's obvious. My wife got the answer when I asked her. So, so if she knows it, how does God lead us in the everlasting way, Brett?
Well, the word literally means road.
Okay.
So I would say when he's talking about the narrow way, that he is the way. He said, "I am the way.
Okay.
I am the road. I am the truth." Right. So that's the everlasting way because he's eternal.
Right.
Follow him.
The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's the word. You know, Psalm 119. I mean, I thought it was so obvious, so forgive me. I'm just making a, you know, it's the word will lead us to the everlasting way. And anyway, in love, the one that Brother Teo said, yeah, we can't do that. 1 Thessalonians 3 says, love the brethren fervently and love all men. And that means the divorce judges and all the people that are for lesbians and you know all the terrible things. We have to love them even though they're perverted and they're going to face judgment, but we have to love our enemies. The Lord be magnified.
Thank you, Brother Norman, for studying that out. My thoughts were led to 2 Peter 1. I just might read a good part of it. It says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The Christian manner is also in my mind the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is the opposite of the divine nature. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. I kept watching for you to add the virtue of charity or love. I do believe that out of that virtue we obtain the power to esteem others, to listen, to pay attention, to not speak evil, to be peaceable and gentle, kind, forgiving, respecting those who are older. I do believe those things all flow out of the Christian virtue of love and charity. Without that, this other stuff becomes very hard to do. But if we have love, it's not near so hard. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Brother Will, for reading that. When you said the seven graces of Peter, temperance, Brother Brett was saying that, he mentioned about interruption, I nudged him and I said, well, I'm worse than you. The remedy for that is self-control. When we have to interrupt someone, it's just self-control. Let them get their thunder out, and maybe you won't even have to say anything in the end, but I'm guilty of that too. You can pray for me for that.